call to order the Village River Forest Economic Development Commission, Friday, February 15th. I just need to respond to Tim here quick.
Sure. I'll start the roll call here. Mr. Brown, Mr. Graham, Ms. Lapica.
Present.
Ms. Moss.
Present.
Mr. Brangle, Mr. Newbecker.
Here.
And Mr. O'Connell.
Here.
All right, you have a skin of your teeth. You have a quorum. And then there is a desire. Mr. Brangle has a work commitment this morning. Oh, Mr. Brown is here. Has a work commitment this morning, so the rules allow him to participate telephonically. So I would just need a motion and a second to allow Tim Brangle to participate via phone.
I move to allow Tim Brangle to participate telephonically.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Okay. with that being taken care of.
Can I just ask
sure.
before we move on, if I wasn't called as part of the role, so should I, am I here as an observer?
You're like me, you're ex officio,
okay.
So you don't technically vote, but you're a part of the group and can speak up.
Lovely.
And things
Thank
like that.
You
yep.
for qualifying.
No problem.
Okay, next item on the agenda would be public comment. Public? You having none, we'll close the public comment section. Okay.
Yep, and then I've given you a copy of the minutes from the last meeting, so we'll need a motion and a second to approve those.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Okay, there's lots of stuff going on around here.
Yep.
And so we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to let Eric give us an update on some of the projects that are going on in town.
Yep. So a couple of things, and we'll have an executive session as well today to talk about, get your direction on another item. The three we'll talk about here in open session, and one we haven't talked about in a while, but some good news to report. The townhomes over at Promenade, which is the former Heinz site, so they've sold 14 units so far, and so there were about 30 units total, so they've gotten close to that 50% mark. So it's been a slow and steady process for them. Substantially, they've completed the public improvements, all the work around the around the site. Those items have been closed out, and not surprisingly, they've built out the units enough to, have the walls and get the inspections approved for fire sprinklers, things like that. But they're letting each individual unit owner come in and do, finishes and cabinets and kitchens and all that other stuff. So that's good. It's been a slow and steady climb over there, but they are continuing to sell units and make progress, so we're glad to see that.
So how does that work with, from a permitting standpoint, are they pulling permits on all of that stuff? And when the developer came in, how vast or how encompassing was their permit?
Right, good question. And that's one we actually kind of worked through and tried to be flexible with them as we went through the process. So they came in for permit to build all the structures, right? And then you're going to have, the permit's going to deal with the walls and the fire rating and the fire safety and all that other stuff. And then at some point they want to close that permit out, right? So they want to get a final inspection and move on. But the reality is they don't have all the work done because they're not going to trim out all the cabinets and the bathrooms and stuff. I mean, they'll do the rough plumbing and things like that. So we broke their permits up and said, look, here, for the main permit for the project, we'll give you a final inspection and we'll close that out. And then every time you go ahead and sell a unit, you have to pull another permit for that particular unit just to do all the finish work and things like that. So we kind of took off.
So they're responsible for the finish work. So it's not like you've got 18 contractors running around.
No. Yeah, no, it's their...
Whoever their subs are and so on.
Correct, yeah.
I think it's a good sign that those are selling. Because they had a lot of challenges over there.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea, and I could talk with Mark too, but who, like what type of person or family is moving in there? Is it any idea?
No, I,
I'm just sort of curious.
It's a good question. I don't have the demographic information.
Yeah.
So
certainly.
So just anecdotally, my neighbor's a home inspector, and he's done a couple of them over there.
Yep.
And it's young couples with, you know, with like preschool age kids and starting to get into school
age. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a friend of mine that's doing the. There's two of the people at Ad that are selling them. So I know they were struggling.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that there's an appetite.
Yeah. Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just confirm, is this the property on Madison?
Yes, yep. Along the, next to the railroad tracks.
Next to the railroad tracks. Okay.
Good
Earth.
Yep.
Edward Hines.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, no, I would agree. It's good that they start off slow,
mm-hmm.
and but I think this is part of the new normal too for these a lot of these residential projects is that they, you know, it just takes a while. You know, in the old days when things don't fly off the shelves anymore, right? It's a slow and steady burn, but they are continuing to move in the right direction. All right, any other questions on Promenade? No. All right, Lake and Lathrop, also a slow and steady burn. So the developer had an open house this week on, if you may or may not know, there's a sales office across the street on the southeast corner of Lake and Lathrop where, and if you haven't been in there, certainly would encourage you to stop by. They've done a nice job finishing that out. If you want me to set up an appointment for you or, you know, just let me know and I'll make a...
That's Old River Forest Chocolates.
Yes, it's Donna's, exactly. It's a very close-knit group here. Close-knit group here in River Forest.
So last we heard he was at 3?
He's about 3 at about now around 4. So I was told they were actually closing a deal. I stopped over there on Tuesday and they were closing a deal for a fourth contract.
Cool.
So they, but again, they have everything. They have a finished out. They have a sample kitchen. They've got a bathroom with, you know, the types of materials and finishes, appliances, all that fun stuff that's there. They've got their promotional video running, which is very slick. They've engaged with the folks over at Sotheby's that did the realtor work over for District House as well. I think they're coming into it. To do some additional work and marketing for them as well to try to get more more sales contracts moving along. So it's good to see. Again, it's as expected, it's a slower process in terms of landing those contracts, but they are they're definitely moving in the right direction.
How many units total?
Yeah, I was about to say, you said 4 units sold.
Yeah, but how many units total in the...
They're at about 30 as well. 30 as well.
How many do they need for the financing contingency? Do you know?
Yeah, I typically what I've heard, it's been around 40%,
yeah.
You know, and obviously that number can fluctuate a little bit based on the relationship with the lender.
Yep.
But yeah, it's usually around 40%.
And so are you still working on a redevelopment agreement with him?
Correct, yeah. And so one of the things we've been working on with the developer is updating the redevelopment agreement to reflect updated timelines. So we're still chipping away at that. What I would say is in terms of a lot of it's because the previous RDA dealt with a lot of the other items as it related to acquisition, getting the plan development application and things like that. All those things have been taken care of. So we really don't have to address those items necessarily. What we're working on now is really looking at timelines for demolition, remediation, and getting their permit in. I can tell you right now their permit deadlines will mirror, at least as proposed, our plan development ordinance. So instead of trying to recreate a new timeline, we'll go back to what the village code says. And what the village code says is you get 9 months after your plan development permit is approved to submit your permits. And so that would put them in the middle of June for permit submittal.
And so his conundrum is it's March, let's say for sake of conversation, it's March 1st, he's got 4 units sold, he's got 60 days to sell another
eight
units and to pull his permit, and then at that point in time you've got a whole other conversation to have with him, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
How long have they been, so the 4 units went off, and how long have they been marketing that? And I know it did for some time.
Yeah, so they started marketing soon after the plan development permit was issued, and so they saw an immediate interest at that point. And then it just slows up around the holidays,
sure.
and through January, and now they're kicking back up again. So that's why in February they had the open house. I think they're going to do another one of those. They're, again, the folks with Sotheby's are going to redo their sign package, you know, all that kind of fun stuff to really hit the ground running.
He started, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Donnie, you probably know better. He started like late summer, early fall with the showroom, right? When did he take over your space over there?
I left fall of 2018.
And he's been in there all that time?
2018.
What'd you say? Fall, yes.
Fall 2018.
You left fall 2017.
2017.
He hasn't been in that summertime.
Yeah, so I think he kind of missed the height of the selling season, too. So, you know,
this will be his first real selling season that he's been in there and actively marketing.
Yeah,
right.
He should consider like Facebook advertising on Nettle Horse, the elementary school. There's a lot of people who, by second, third grade in East Lakeview, want to move. But this is I wonder if that would
be effective.
Was the open house well attended?
Yeah, no, it was nice. There was a good crowd. Like I said, they were working on getting a contract signed. There were some local realtors that I saw there, other members of their real estate community going through. And so, yeah, no, I thought it was pretty well attended.
In the demographics there, I'm assuming you mentioned, you know, young families, but I would assume at that price point, are they going for like empty nesters or is it a combination? Are they trying to throw wide net?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is the people that they have been talking to already have been people that are looking to downsize their homes.
Okay. Okay.
Well, what is the price point there?
They're at about $350, $400 a square foot. So depending on the size, you know, $600,000 to $800,000, you know, a little bit, maybe even a little bit higher, depending if you get to a penthouse or something.
Two to three bedroom or?
Yeah, they're three bedroom, two, three, and sometimes four bedrooms. You know, they do have the ability, if you come in now, you have the ability to combine units as well if you want a larger unit. Yep.
You're downsizing.
You're
going over like six.
Makes sense.
Yep.
That's going to be a slow burn, too, because you're in the community. You make the decision to downsize. You want to stay in the community, though.
Right.
Those don't come in droves, you know, it's one-offs.
Right. Okay. Next update is on Chicago and Harlem. And so good news there. We've been continuing to have our normal and customary contact with the developer. They have come in regarding the status of their project. So they've gone from, now that they have their entitlement, they've gone to their pre-development work. So they're working on finalizing their development plans and permits for their plans to submit everything for building permit in May of 2019, so coming up here in a couple months. A project of that size usually takes a couple months to get through plan review and permits, but they're a pretty well-oiled machine there, and I would expect that they would be in for, like I said, permit in May of 19, and then once we approve those, construction groundbreaking would start mid to late summer.
So are there any public hearings that are still required on that?
No.
No.
No. That's approved by the board. And so, yeah, no, it's just a matter of following the process for permits and things of that nature.
Hey, can I just go back to Lake and Lathrop?
Of course.
Would you just let the group know when that the next open house is over there for Lake and Lathrop?
You know, nothing against the Lake and Lathrop project or the other ones, but look at how smoothly this one in Chicago and Harlem is going and how quickly it's meeting a need, and there's going to be a groundbreaking in, it seems like, less than a year since, or 6 months, a year since it's been brought up. So just as a comment, just.
Yeah, certainly. I wouldn't argue that point. I think the counterbalance point to that, though, is it just a different project with different financing, different marketing, right? So unlike the residential projects where they're going to want that, there's that slow burn, and they're going to want to get certain pre-sales before the lenders and the developer are comfortable. This one is, you know, their equity and financing people are already locked and loaded and ready to go. I think it related the story. The developer has done the similar project in Northbrook. That one's about probably 5 or 6 years old. They've already expanded that and built on to that project. The Park Ridge project, opened last year, and I believe already had like, I want to say 30% to 40% leased out before they even opened the door, and the state approved their permit and their licensing. So it's, you know, you're right. They've done a great job, very smooth, and like I said, more of a very well oiled machine. But in fairness to the other projects, it's just a different.
No, I understand. Yeah, it's project. Just when we're looking at future development partners.
Yes.
It's nice to consider ones that might be able to get things done.
Yep.
So I was thinking about it is because I drove by the one in Northbrook. We have friends who live up in the area there. Have we given any thought or consideration to the fact that I think the one in Northbrook, I think the reason they needed to expand was I think they needed more on the dementia care and memory care side. Have we given any thought to how we potentially are going to address their need in the future to come back to us and say, hey, you know, we think we want to buy the rest of Harlem Avenue, you know, how do you feel about that? Or am I putting the cart before the horse? You know, so I mean, if we look at John Housiel's plan, or we just, you know, have conversations internally, or, you know, how would we feel about that? You know, do we now set some kind of precedent that there's going to be more commercial development along Harlem Avenue, or?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think my answer would be we look at all those on a case by case basis. I don't necessarily see that as a negative in terms of the continued redevelopment along Harlem Avenue. And I think those types of projects, the senior living facilities, are ones that ultimately dovetail nicely with the community. Obviously, you know, some of the residents in there had somewhat of a differing opinion during the process. But then you look at alternatives, right? What else, if you're not going to do single family
right.
homes, then what goes there? High density residential, I can see in Oak Park. Retail, you get, you know, a soft goods store over there with, you know, a lot of parking needs, and, you know, there's, the question becomes what are your alternatives? So if you can get into these residential type institutional uses, that's certainly, we would certainly keep an open mind to those. Okay. Anything else on Chicago and Harlem? No. Yeah. So the only other update I have would be an executive session regarding acquisition of property and then sale of property.
Okay. Motion to move to executive session. Is there anyone out here that needs to comment before?
No, I think Susan said she didn't have anything.
Nothing else then?
Nope.
Okay. So I guess that takes care of our updates.
Mm-hmm.
So then any other business before we go into executive session?
The only other item I'll just report to you is on the comp plan. So the draft comp plan has been completed. That the Plan Commission reviewed that on Tuesday night. They will be having a public hearing, the official public hearing on that document in March, and all that is posted to the website. So if you have any other information or questions on that, you can grab that online.
Okay. So I have one other thing that I just wanted to kind of float out there. talk about, you know, kind of the social media thing. There was a number of things going around on Facebook last weekend. Someone was bemoaning the fact that they stood in line at the Jewel for a half an hour. I had an experience the other evening. I got off the L and I went through Whole Foods, and they had two cash registers open, and, you know, 27 people standing in line there. And I skedaddled up to Fresh Time, and, you know, naturally I was able to fly in and out of there. And so I was thinking about it, you know, a lot of the stuff that we talk about here has to do with planning, and it has to do with, you know, buildings and that kind of stuff. You know, should we give some thought to figuring out, and Donna, you can kind of, you know, tell me if I'm all wet with this. Should we try to figure out how to help some of the retailers and businesses in town attract employees? You know, and so you know, does it make sense to try to get the manager of Whole Foods and the manager of the Jewel in here and try to understand, you know,
what the issues?
You know, I mean, obviously, I work for a company that had, this is a big issue, you know. One of our measurements in for our restaurants is turnover. And when people talk about 140% turnover, everybody gets excited about it. So you're turning over the staff of a restaurant, you know, almost 1.5 times on an annual basis. And so, again, I'm throwing this out there. It was just kind of an idea. It kind of struck me. And, you know, there were comments made on there is, you know, I go to the Jewel in Melrose Park because I can get in and out of there and it's not a problem or whatever. So is there something we as a commission can help kind of foster some kind of plan? And, you know, if we need money, take it to the board and figure out, you know, I don't know what it looks like, but it seems to me that, you know, we live in a community. We've got a couple of pretty good retailers that throw off some pretty good sales tax. You know, again, from my business experiences, you know, we talk about drive-offs. So when you're sitting in the parking lot and somebody pulls in and they can't get in the drive-through lane, mm-hmm. they drive off. So what's the opportunity cost that we're missing here? Mm-hmm. And so I throw it out to see, you know, does anybody have any ideas or thoughts? You know, if you want to talk about it later or, you know, if you have some ideas right now.
Do we know if the issue, waiver shortage is obviously a huge issue. You talk to
exactly.
anyone, people are walking on good jobs
right.
constantly
right.
these days. Do we know that's the issue, though, or is it just a dollars and cents one where they're saying, look, we're staffing where we want to staff. We know people are going to come because of the options that are available, and this is where it makes sense for us to be a profitable location.
Right.
Or is it that we can't get people to come in here and work?
I don't know the answer either. That's what was kind of my thought about, you know, do we invite the two managers and, you know, kind of get their perspective on it? And do we try to figure out if there's some kind of, you know, game plan we can put together from there? Because you're right.
The Jewel is ridiculous, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's always ridiculous. But to what you're saying, to your point, a couple months after Whole Foods was acquired by Amazon, I was talking to, I was at the fish counter and I said, they were having a sale, and I said, well, you have more sales now, are you cutting costs? And he said, we have to keep up the volume, and if we don't, they'll start cutting personnel. So I don't know if it's a factor of the volume has gone down in sales, and therefore they've cut personnel, or whether they just can't find the people to fill the positions. But I think, I don't know strategically how the company's looking at it in terms of Amazon.
I actually have a friend that does the development and design for Whole Foods. It's kind of a neat job. She goes all over the place and kind of figures it out. If we want to pursue this, I could ask her
I think she
knows that location sucks, by the way. So don't.
I do have to tell you, I was sharing the story the other night as I was walking down, you know, in front of the Whole Foods. A stretch limo pulled up and somebody got out of it. I was like, see, it really does take a lot of money to be able to shop there. So, but I think there's just some things that we have to do. You know, I don't know how much they're recruiting at the high school. I don't know anything about how they're doing. It's kind of a standard when you go into a retail shop, present company excluded, that everybody's got a help wanted sign up. To your point, Kyler, it's just, you know, there's got to be something. So, you know, again, just kind of noodle around. If you have some ideas, you want to drop me an email. And, you know, if we want to invite, you know, the two managers over. And conversely, the guy at Fresh Time, too, you know, maybe there's something we can do to you know, see if there's something to generate more business for him. Because I have to tell you, you know, you can't buy a thing of Nestle's chocolate chips and their baked cookies in. But, you know, the stuff that you know, the quality stuff you want, they really do a nice job of it over there. So.
You know, to piggyback off that, I've been actually, I was going to talk with Eric maybe after this, but as long as he brought that up, I feel as I might as well, because it's a similar situation. I had a meeting, and I'm in Starbucks every day. I park there, I get my coffee, and I go.
You know, there's a McDonald's
gym.
Up the street, just FYI.
What's that?
There's a McDonald's up the street.
Yeah. Well, it just sort of works for my daily plan. There you go. McCafe.
Officials have to be careful about using their role.
I was kidding.
Oh, strike. Thank
you. Touché.
I want to be careful about that.
I'm in and out real quick most of the time, but I decided to take a meeting there with whatever, it doesn't matter. And so I was there for about an hour and a half, and one of the people went up, it's a lady, she went up and she saw, she couldn't get into the bathroom. There was someone that was using in there. There was two people. She actually saw a needle. She was an ex-user. It was a weird situation. And I looked around, and I don't mind. Listen, I'm on the Homeless Coalition. I don't mind a warm place for people to be, and that's their policy. And I talked, you know, that people can be in there. But then users that are, like, there that are clearly the first commercial business that we walk into in River Forest, the entryway to River Forest for most people, I know that there are users in the bathroom there. And that's just a weird feeling to have. And if you look in there, sometimes there's far fewer families that are going there. There's far fewer meetings that are taking place there. And again, it's not, I want to differentiate the idea that everyone is welcome. I fully appreciate that, and I agree with it, and that there should be a warm place. And but at the same time, their hands are tied when it comes to, they say they have to literally see someone using, shooting up, a needle in arm. Even if someone's in the bathroom for a half hour, they cannot do anything. Just, do you need any help? And I just, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if it's, you know, some sort of, because we all know they use and they get on the green line, or they take the green line here and then they use. But it's disheartening that that's happening right there. And what could be, a nice, prosperous place where people want to do business. People don't take meetings here anymore. Starbucks downtown, that's where you go. People, don't, you know, some people work, but it's just, I don't know if the police can get involved and maybe just start arresting some people every once in a while, because we know it's happening. What's that?
It's not just there.
In
there are other restaurants where
in that
happens.
Area?
In town center, yeah.
So it's, it's just something, there's got to be some plan around that, that we're just sort of letting it happen. Seems a deterrent for future business. I don't know if I'd want to open up, and I know they're doing well there, but.
Yeah, no, it's good feedback. I, you know, short of putting a police officer in, you know, every location and just, you know, parking them there, you know, it's difficult to prevent that type of stuff. I know we do have, the police department has ongoing conversations with the manager of Town Center. They have gone through a couple different security companies. In fact, they have a new one. I don't know if you've seen them out there. They have their own vehicle with flat, you know, with that's marked with lights, trying to provide more of a presence out there. The police department on an ongoing basis does various enforcement and awareness campaigns, presence campaigns, so that individuals are aware that the police are out there on a regular basis. But I'm not necessarily saying that there isn't an issue based on the location, based on being near to public transportation and things like that. So it's certainly items I can go back to the police chief and get more input from him and share that with you.
That'd be great.
Well,
I'd be really interested to see what their ideas are around it. If there's sting operations, I mean, if people start getting, I know it's a pain, drug arrests are a pain to handle. It's just a lot of paperwork, and chances are the person's going to get away. But there's got to be some deterrent. I don't know what it is, but I'd be interested to hear what their thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, I will. I mean, our
sniffing dog.
Our
just the presence of the dog, even if the arrest didn't happen, if
the
I feel more comfortable
see
with
the dog, we might go somewhere else.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. What I wouldn't want to give you the impression that somehow there's a perception because like there's paperwork or something. We're not going to. The police are very present out there, and if there isn't ever an issue of some sort, they're going to go out there and they're going to deal with it. They're very professional. We have a professional police department, and they're not going to shy away from anything. Part of it also is incumbent upon the stores as well.
And their hands are
so.
Yeah.
Well, their hands can be tied, and sometimes they don't always heed the advice that law enforcement gives them as well. So, you know, we've told some of the retailers here, don't put on retail theft issues. You know, when you set your products up, don't put a stack of purses right by the door, right? Because you're just inviting someone to come in and rip them out and run. So the police department's very active out there. We have one officer that is a kind of a school/business liaison that communicates with all the businesses out there. So certainly there's, we're always open to additional ideas and suggestions, certainly, and we can, I'll talk to Jim and we'll report back, but there is a lot of contact and presence out there as well, so.
I think we have someone that had to leave at 8. Will we lose our quorum if we're short someone?
No, you've got 5, so you could, one person could physically leave.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
No.
Sorry, can I make a comment to your original
sure.
statement about engaging small business? You know, from a chamber's point of view, I would welcome any way that we can engage those businesses, because without a doubt, what we find is public perception can often be very, very different than the actual, what businesses are actually going through. So, you know, I love your comment about Whole Foods. You know, maybe they are reducing staff. I know I've seen that the usual people that I would see at Whole Foods are not there anymore, you know, the regular staff. And yeah, the jewel is just, I sometimes don't even get in the store because I can't find anywhere to park.
Right.
I can't believe that massive parking lot can be so full. So, but having said that, that's our perception as users. I would love to know what the businesses are going through. Maybe revenue's down at the jewel.
Right.
You know, and we're all thinking, how is that ever possible? But maybe it actually is down. So I would welcome any opportunity to be able to engage them. Definitely.
Yeah, good to know.
I heard that our jewel is one of the most profitable jewels. Is that correct?
Profitable?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I saw that on Facebook, and I
yeah, I saw all that.
Yeah.
Profitable because it has higher revenue, or because the products are.
Well, it has higher prices because they do zip code pricing.
Ah.
So.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that doesn't necessarily mean there's more people through.
No.
I also think if we have a meeting, we should have all three.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, again, I go to the Fresh Time pieces. They don't have a lot of employees there, but I think they're staffing to their volume, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love
so,
Fresh Time.
Yeah. So.
I think they do a great job.
I mean, I was telling somebody, you know, my mom lives in Oak Brook, and she gets a flyer in her mail every week from Fresh Time, which is at Ogden Avenue in Cass or something like that, you know, one of those streets over there. I mean, it's a long way from where she lives, but she's getting a flyer in the mail. I you know, except for seeing it in the Sunday paper, you get, you know, we don't get any advertising in our house at least. So, yeah. So if we could just give that some thought and some ideas, you know, maybe we can bring that, you know, have some ideas and, you know, to welcome whatever you guys have done in terms of job fairs or, you know, kind of, you know, things that,
sure.
that you guys have.
Well, if in fact that's the problem, that's
yeah,
the issue,
the issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Okay, any other business? Okay. I guess we will close the...
Yeah, we'll need a motion to go into executive session for the purposes of acquisition real property and sale of real property. So I need someone to make that motion.
I move we go into executive session.
All right. I need a second.
Second.
All right, and we'll do a roll call. Mr. Brown.
Present.
Ms. Lepica.
Present.
Ms. Moss. Mr.
Present.
Neubecker. Mr.
Present.
O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then we just need a roll call here. Mr. Brown.
Present.
Ms. Lepica.
Present.
Ms. Moss. Mr. Neubecker.
Here, here.
Mr. O'Connell.
Here.
Mr. Brangle.
Present.
All right. We have a quorum.
Sorry.
Any other business?
Anybody got anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Just do a next meeting real quick.
It would be March 8th.
It's 3 weeks.
Yep.
Do we have that much to talk about? Yet?
Well, if we have this meeting with, if we get this meeting
with Focus, we could have an update.
Walsh, we will. So, okay. March 8th it is then. Okay. Motion to adjourn, I guess, right?
Yep.
Tim, you want to make a motion?
Sure, motion to adjourn, please.
Second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
All right, we're adjourned.